1340-96.5 KVGC. As promised on the phone with us is Dr. Rita Kerr, Amador County Health Officer. Dr. Kerr, good morning. Welcome to KVGC. Good morning. We understand that we now have mobile testing available here in Amador County. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. Starting tomorrow, St. Catherine Drexel's allowing us to use their parking lot. They're hosting a trailer-based testing site that is a drive-through site, so people don't even get out of their car. But for traffic flow purposes, people do need to go online to schedule an appointment ahead of time. Anyone can be tested who's 18 years or older, and this is free of charge. When you go through the web portal to register, they would collect insurance information if the person has insurance, but no copays will be collected, and there'll be no charge to the person for testing.
And that site is projectbaseline.com/COVID-19, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. Now, this is, there. It says they're using a, is it Verily's baseline?
It's called Verily. That's Verily's. The company that coordinates all the testing. They provide the test swabs, collection kits, the staff to do it, all the protective equipment. And this is actually a self-collected test swab. It's not all the way back in the nose. It's just a mid-nasal swab that the person just puts in about 2 centimeters, swirls on one side and then the other side, put it in a tube, cap the tube, and drop it in a plastic bag.
Now, is this so I drive up to St. Catherine Drexel, will they give this to me and I sit in my car and do it, or do I go home and do it?
Nope, in your car, you do it right there, and you leave the tube. It gets the whole batch will get picked up by the lab at the end of the day and sent to the lab for processing.
Gotcha. Now, how does this differ from the Calaveras County's using the OptumServe? Is it just two brands? Is that what
exactly,
it is?
Exactly, yes. Okay. The state is coordinating both of these. The California Department of Public Health is supporting this effort and deploying these sites, particularly now to rural counties like ours that have been relative what they call testing deserts. It's been hard for people to access testing without having to have a doctor's appointment or emergency room visit. So at this point, this does not require a doctor's order. Anyone can log on, and if they want to be tested, they can be tested.
Now, Dr. Kerr, how are we doing in Amador County as far as, are we still at 10 cases, 2 active?
We are still at 10 cases, 1 active. Another one was deemed recovered on Monday.
Okay.
On Monday, the Johns Hopkins tool had erroneously reported Amador at 19 cases. Which caused some consternation, but that has been corrected at this point. That was inaccurate information, and the Johns Hopkins site is corrected at this point, so we remain at 10 confirmed cases.
Yeah, we had a few calls here asking about that, and it was still 10. So we wanted to get that clear with you. Now, I'm going to switch gears for just a moment. Okay, I want to talk basically kind of off script here on this. As a doctor, as a mother, what advice do you have for parents to tell their young children about what's going on right now? Here we've been locked down, we haven't had school, and now every time you watch TV, cities are burning, people are rioting. What do you, as a medical person, what do you tell people to tell their children?
This is absolutely a stressful time for everyone, and children can absolutely be very confused and fearful. Let your kids know that you love them, that your home is a safe place for them. If you need help, reach out to behavioral health, to Nexus Youth and Family Services has a lot of family support programs. Talk to your children's doctor or to your pastor if you're a person of faith, or your friends, your community groups. Connect by phone or virtually at this point. We need to support each other in these trying times.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do. Back to COVID. So we're at the middle end of phase two right now?
We're in the middle of phase two. The few phase three things were released by the state which is the church services and the gatherings for protest, which are, you know, the state has deemed both protected by the First Amendment and has allowed those to go forward in a careful fashion with size limitations and risk mitigation measures in place. And then the hair salon guidance came out, was it a week ago now? So hair salons and barbershops are gradually reopening as they put those measures in place. And one of the important things in that is that because those two people cannot stay 6 feet apart by the nature of the service, both of them need to wear a face covering throughout the service,
gotcha,
both the stylist and the client.
Now, when do you think, for example, restaurants have been reopened with guidelines? And how about bars and nightclubs? Because there's some confusion there. Just because they serve food, they can have people at the bar, so forth and so on. Nightclubs, for example, or bars, just a plain bar in Amador County. Can they reopen now?
They are not allowed to reopen at this time. They are still on the list of the state that is not allowed to reopen yet because of the general nature of close gathering in those places. And, you know, oftentimes when people are drinking, they're less inhibited and may forget about social distancing as well.
Right, right.
So neither of those venues are allowed to be open at this point.
Now, with the influx of folks here into the county over the Memorial weekend, if we do not see a spike in the next week, I know you'll be relieved.
Yes.
But will you begin to rethink, will health officials in the county and throughout the state begin to rethink how we're attacking this now?
We're actually reassessing the data on a daily basis and monitoring all of this. As I've mentioned before, we're really not allowed to go any faster than the state for reopening.
Mm-hmm.
Our regional health officers meetings that we have three times a week, we have been certainly discussing things like youth sports and outdoor activities, because in general, outdoor is safer than indoor. And we've been sending guidance up to the state that has been shared with us by various, you know, sporting, associations.
Let's just say sporting leagues, sporting
associations. For example, yes, like the United States Tennis Association wrote a nice set of guidelines for safer tennis play. And the state last week said, yes, that singles tennis can occur as long as the people, you know, outside of a single household. So two people who are not in the same household can play tennis across the court from each other as long as they're not sharing any equipment, including the tennis balls. Each person needs to bring their own can of balls and mark them so that they can only touch their own equipment.
Well, if I were playing tennis with someone, they would have to retrieve mine, because mine would go all over the place. I'd be running all over the court. It wouldn't be a fun game for
me. Right. You're encouraged to not use your hands when retrieving that ball, though, either using the racket kicking it or some other way without having to actually pick it up and handle it.
There we go. Now, on Monday, was it Monday or Tuesday? I think it was Monday. I attended a junior livestock auction committee in the morning at the Amador County Fairgrounds. They were talking about live shows as opposed to virtual shows and so forth and so on. Will we be able to do something like that by July, or would that be under stage three? Where does something like that fall? And I don't want to put you on the spot because I know you're probably involved in this.
Right. I don't have a crystal ball, and there are ways to do some of that without having as many people.
Yeah.
So I know one of the options being discussed is having the animals trailered in, and rather than having the exhibitors show, for example, their steer on a halter, like I used to do when I was a kid.
I was just going to tell people, you don't realize this, folks. Dr. Kerr is an old, steer shower.
Right. We had pulled Herefords in Wisconsin, and funny little story, my family was on the cover of Pulled Hereford World in 1964, and I was actually on that cover, although not in person at the time, so that gives you a clue as to how old I am.
So there will be ways to get around this, to do this possibly.
So, for example, like we were saying, so if the animals are trailered in and in their pens, and the judges could go around and judge the animals, you know, strictly on the animal's merit without having the exhibitors. Unfortunately, you can't do a showmanship competition that way,
right,
but the animals could still be judged.
Right. So let's touch on sports. We've got the high school and junior football season coming up. Volleyball's coming up. And then we move into indoor with basketball. Wrestling.
Right.
I mean,
what
are we going to do?
High contact sports are going to be a challenge, and we are waiting on the school guidance that is in its final phases of review, and we'll see. I'm unsure at this point how much it strictly addresses sports. I have a feeling it's going to come out primarily involved with the addressing the classroom versus virtual instruction or a hybrid model if necessary.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then once we've, you know, kind of got that one figured out and all the, you know, stakeholders, including the teachers and the administrators and the parents and the everyone else who's involved in the education of our kids, agreeing on what the guidance should be and how we're going to do it in our local community, I think the team sports will come after that as far as guidance goes.
I was given a copy of that survey, and I looked through it, and I was very surprised that all the options they gave, none of them included, would you like to see school like it was? That's not an option.
That is not an option. It has to be smaller classes. It has to be further apart. It has to be done with risk mitigation. What we're trying to do is minimize the risk of transmission of COVID-19 in any given setting that reopens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But do you think that we, again, it's kind of a fluid landscape. Could this change maybe by next semester? And we don't get that second wave, we maybe have a vaccine. I'm personally, Dr. Kerr, I'm not holding out for the vaccine. There's vaccines for a lot of things. And do you think that there will be a COVID-19 vaccine that will kill COVID-19 and will protect us all? Or is it going to be like the flu vaccine where it's like, well, it works some of the time, but doesn't work some of the time? Is there a 100%? Will it be the cure-all, the be-all to end-all?
Well, first of all, vaccines don't kill viruses. What they do is create an immunity in the individual who has a vaccine in their own immune system. It helps that individual make antibodies so that when the body is exposed to the virus, which is called an antigen, the body's immune system kicks in and overcomes that virus so that it cannot reproduce itself to a high enough level to cause symptoms and infection and disease.
Yeah.
There is no vaccine that's 100% effective. We have had success in eradicating at least one disease, that being smallpox. So smallpox no longer circulates in the world because over the years, as the vaccination program took place, enough people became immune that it no longer circulates in communities. That being said, viruses can change. They can new strains can develop, and those strains can become vaccine resistant. So it's an ongoing effort to keep the vaccine matched to whatever strain is circulating. That's why we have a new strain of flu vaccine every year. Flu viruses are different than coronaviruses, and vaccine technology is evolving on a regular basis as well. There are multiple efforts going on by various labs to target different components of the coronavirus to see which one's most effective, which ones produce a better level of antibodies, and how durable, how long those antibodies will last. And that's all in the research phase at this point. It's really impossible to predict timing and duration of immunity at this point.
Thank you for saying this is not the flu. I'm tired of people saying this is just the flu on steroids. No, it's a different strain. It's not the flu.
It's an entirely different family of viruses.
Yeah,
the commonality is they both cause respiratory illness and pneumonia. That's the common denominator. But we are seeing more and more different manifestations of this virus, some of them longer term and not based on the virus itself being still in the body, but rather an immune reaction to the virus.
Mm-hmm.
And so you may have heard about this Kawasaki's disease-like syndrome that's particularly hitting younger people.
Yes, yes.
And it's called MISC. That stands for multi-inflammatory system complex related to corona. And we're just starting to case find those and get all the records and look for the commonalities and try and define what that condition really is and how common it is. It's a rare problem at this point, but it's a real problem, and we need to study it.
Dr. Kerr, will we ever find out if this was a man-made or just a natural-made virus?
That epidemiologic investigation is ongoing to track it back to where it originated, and you know, you've maybe heard the term patient zero.
Yes, yes.
So that investigation is still ongoing.
All right. One last question. Are you encouraged? Are you more encouraged today than you were back in March?
I am very encouraged that Amador County has had low numbers of cases at this point and has not had sustained ongoing community transmission. I think the fact that we live rural, farther apart from each other, we don't have a lot of, for example, in the large cities, there's a lot of people who don't even have cars and rely on crowded public transit to get from place to place, which would be an area where spread could happen easily. So I think those things kind of naturally in our community have helped us. But what we need to continue to do is limit non-essential travel. Because what's been happening in the smaller rural communities is outbreaks are generally related to someone who goes somewhere, gets infected, and brings it home, or someone who travels here and starts to spread it to others, and that introduces it into the community.
Are you proud of the way we've been handling things?
I think, in general, our community's done a really good job. One of the things I think that we need to be mindful of as we go forward is the more gatherings are allowed, gatherings like church services or the political protests and the vigils that are now being held in response to the George Floyd death, that people who are in close proximity to one another, especially for long periods of time, that risk of transmission goes up. And wearing a face covering is just one more level of protection. When I wear a mask, it protects you from me. When you wear a mask, it protects me from you, because if I'm asymptomatic but shedding the virus, I don't want to share it with others. And even loud speech, singing, those sorts of things can project those droplets out.
You've never heard my singing, Dr. Kerr. You don't want to. It's worse than the virus sometimes. So.
Oh, goodness.
We have to laugh at ourselves once in a while. You know what I mean?
Jim, I would like to mention one more thing about the testing scheduling for the Verily site that's coming to St. Catherine Drexel. And that is, if people don't have access to the Internet, so you can do it from your smartphone. You don't need a computer, but you need Internet access. If you don't have access to the Internet and you'd like to schedule an appointment, I have a phone number people can call. It's a testing helpline, 209-223-6676. And they can leave their name and a callback number on that voicemail. They'll get a call back within 24 hours, and someone will actually log on and do the registration for them.
All right, so that's the Amador County Public Health Testing Helpline, 223-6676, or you can access the appointment scheduler at projectbaseline.com/COVID-19.
Yes.
There we go. All right. Anything else, Dr. Kerr?
That's it for this morning.
All right. Always a pleasure to have you, Dr. Kerr.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Dr. Rita Kerr, Amador County Health Officer this morning.